You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Unrighteous.
Yeah.
And I knew he knew everything about me before I even said anything.
Wine, women, and song, and the military.
Everything, just, you know.
But now you're married. Are you a faithful husband?
I was.
Good. And a son, and a dog.
And a son. And so I started going to church on Sunday. My wife wouldn't go with me.
What kind of church did you go to?
Baptist church.
First one you saw?
Southern Baptist church. No, it was the one that Earl went to. He was a deacon
okay,
there.
Okay, Earl.
He was a deacon there.
I hope I get to meet Earl someday on the other side.
It'll be on the other side. Yeah, he's since gone home with the Lord.
But this Earl is a great story.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
He was a great guy.
Isn't that wonderful?
He didn't only lead me. He would talk to anybody about Jesus.
Yeah.
And after
I had an old black man named Rel Diggs. We had a 12-hour shift. I was security guard at a hospital. And he was the janitor. And he'd fall asleep on that Bible. Had one little teeny tiny Bible. He'd say, oh, child, you got to come to know Jesus. He'd tell me about Jesus all the time.
It's amazing how God touches our lives.
Yeah. Gosh, I hope I get to see him, too. But go ahead. So you go to church. You go to the Baptist. What do you think of that when you walk in? I mean, this is a strange. You've never been a churchgoer, right?
No, I went to church one time with my cousins when I was up in Alabama, and I asked my mom. I says, "Why don't we go to church?" And she says, "Your daddy doesn't want to." And that was the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, at that point, that was my relationship with church.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the thing about it was that God knew me before I was ever born. I'm just so thankful for that.
So you go to the church. What happened?
So I started going to the church. And I have to say it this way because this leads up to a lot of other things in my testimony. But I wanted my way of satisfying my dad was by doing things. He always told me, son, you want something? I said, yes, sir. I want a motorcycle. He says, look at the end of your arm. What's there? I says, my hand. He says, that's your hands. We'll get it there. Go do it.
Good advice.
And so
there's nothing like a man shall enjoy the fruit of his labors. And there's nothing like eating steak on a Friday night going, I earned this. Not somebody give it to me. I earned it. It's a good feeling.
Well, I bought my first motorcycle when I was 13, and I bought my first car when I was 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you do to make all that money?
Honest things. I've sold donuts door to door. I used to stand on the streets of Miami and sell the Miami News and the Miami Herald, especially on the weekends, because you make about 15 cents a paper, you know. And in the week, you'd make only 2 cents a paper. But
hey, it adds up.
It adds up. And so
10 sales, you got a dime, you can go buy two pieces of candy. So you got your first motorcycle at 13?
Mm-hmm.
Got it. You do first car at 15, earned it. Okay. So now you're going, we're back to church. What happens next?
I started going to church.
Yeah.
And I wanted God to love me like he loved Earl.
Earl. I got to write a song about Earl.
And the only thing that I knew was that if I worked hard enough and did enough, that God would love me.
Yeah.
That was my understanding of the Lord. I had to do something for him. And I was gung-ho about everything. So I said, okay, I told them at the church, I said, I want to start working with teenagers because I was a messed up teenager. And I got in there, and the first week I fell on my face. And the next week it was worse. I called in sick. It was
What do you mean the first week you fell on your face?
Well,
what does that mean?
I was trying to speak to these kids, and it was like I was speaking to a wall. I understand why. But I didn't have the right thing for them because they were church kids. And for the most part, they were good kids.
You just wanted to be on the side of giving.
Exactly. So what I did was, that didn't work. Second week, I called in sick. The third week, I went to the associate pastor and told him, listen, I can't do this. It's not what I'm supposed to do. And that Sunday morning, I was walking by a classroom filled with children. And I looked in there, and the Lord says, That's where I want you, with these kids.
What ages were they?
8, 10.
Okay. And what did he want you? What, where are you again? I kind of drifted for a second there. Where are you? You're walking by this classroom where?
In church.
Oh, in church. Okay.
Yeah. On Sunday
As opposed
morning.
To the teenagers, he wanted you with the younger ones.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And I told him straight up, I said, look, Lord, little kids make me nervous. My kids make me nervous.
This is making me,
I don't know how to deal, because you don't know what they're going to say or what they're going to do.
And they're dreadfully honest.
And dreadfully. And so that was at the time. And I said to the associate pastors or something I can do with kids. He said, well, we don't need any teachers or anything, but we have a big bus ministry here. That's where they would go on Sundays and pick up kids that weren't churched from the neighborhoods. And so this one guy, he takes me out to the neighborhood on Saturday and goes over the route with me. And the next week he calls in and says, I can't do it. Well, I can't do that because I've put my hand to the plow, so to speak, and I did it. And I started to find out that I had a rapport with these kids like I couldn't believe. And I knew it had nothing to do with me and with their parents, because this was a totally black neighborhood to begin with.
So these are all black kids.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I just started doing it, you know.
So you weren't naturally, people aren't naturally racist, so it hadn't been taught to you, so you just loved the kids, right?
Exactly. Both of my parents were from the South, and neither one of them was racist. They were everything but racist.
Wonderful. Yeah, I never knew the difference. Yeah, I mean, whatever.
Anyway, so I started working with these kids and with their parents, and I saw it was working. It was wonderful. The Lord would actually lead me up and down the streets and show me which houses to go to where there were kids. That's just how it was.
And you'd ring on the doorbell?
And I'd go up and ring the doorbell, and there were kids there.
And say, I'm here for the church. They want to come to church, I'll drive them to church.
Something to that effect,
and they're
yes.
probably half of them are happy to get rid of their kids.
Yeah,
here's little Wilfred. Go ahead, take him.
For a couple hours.
But this is back in the 40s or 50s?
Come on, man.
60s?
No. 60s.
Okay.
So.
Well, you were born what, 48?
46.
46.
And so, anyway, I went up and down these streets out there in Opa-locka, Florida, and it's north of Miami, and up and down the streets every week. And I just went every week. And I was only supposed to be out there till 12 o'clock. Well, I got so involved in it that I would be out there till 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Picking up kids to bring them to church?
Talking to kids about coming to church and then picking them up the next day.
Okay, so this is Saturday. You're out. Okay, you're gathering.
6 or 8 months later, I had a busload of kids. I had so many kids that I had them sitting up on a console next to me in the driver's seat. I had them sitting on the floor by the stairs. You couldn't do that today.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that last night, a little of that story.
I had them sitting on my lap. I had not on my lap, but on other kids' laps. And the bigger girls would try to take care of the boys, because it went up to about 14 and down to about 6. Okay, so there's a big diversity of kids there. And I got to tell you this story anyway, but there was a little girl that got on her. She was about 12 years old. She would slink on the bus. She would cause trouble with people. She would hit other kids. You know, she would talk ugly. She'd talk loud. She'd get in arguments. And I said, Lord, why are you letting Angie come on this bus? Her name was Angela DeSilas. I never will forget that. And she was coming on the bus. And I said, Lord, I try to come by her house and beep the horn and she's rolling. I'm being honest with you now. Yeah. And so I did that.
Beep the horn and keep rolling.
But she was there, man.
Oh, boy. God had a plan.
He had a very good plan, because 1 week she comes out. One Saturday I went to visit her. And I opened the door. I was hoping, you know, her mother opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping nobody was home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it was, if you understand what I'm saying. And her mother, big old woman, she comes out there and she grabs me around the neck and she's hugging on me. She says, what did you do to my daughter? What did you do? I said, why? She says, she's not the same girl. She's not the same girl, Mr. Charles. She's not the same girl. I said, what is she doing? I didn't know what she was doing. And she says, she's so nice, and she helps me around the house and she helps her brothers and stuff. I said, she got saved. Well, thank you for...
She got saved?
Yeah. I said,
in
I
the church.
In the church. I says, I didn't save her. I said, Jesus saved her. Anyway, about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was called into the church. It was Wednesday night when I was there. I was called into the office. Now, by this time, I'm a deacon in that church.
You're on an accelerated path.
Was, very much. And so I'm a deacon and elder in the church, and they call me in, and they said, Charles, here's this letter. We want you to give it to all the kids on Saturday. We're discontinuing that route. We have to achieve a racial balance.
They were black, you told me.
They were.
Huh?
This was a white church.
Yeah, so you're bringing in the black kids.
But they wanted to achieve a racial balance, and they said this 100 kids that was coming on this 63-passenger
bus. Oh, somebody was behind that. It was prejudice.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And a skunk in the woodpile here.
But I had learned over the time that I had to be obedient to those who are in authority over me.
Uh-huh.
So I was obedient. I went out there, and I gave these kids those letters, and my heart was breaking.
Oh,
it was breaking. It was breaking. Oh, and I got so mad at the Lord, I said, Lord, what are these kids?
Yeah.
Are they just a big pawn in your chess game? What am I doing here?
Oh, broke your heart.
I was totally devastated. I went in and told Earl, and he says, that can't be right. I says, well, it's right. And I went home, and I opened my Bible, and the Lord gave me a scripture, and he says, they walk in darkness, and I'm about to take the pastor away.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're about to? What do you mean he said he's about to take the pastor away?
He said, I'm sending him into exile.
Did you hear an audio?
It was right there in the book. I believe it was in Ezekiel. That's been many years ago. But anyway, it was so positive that I always had my Bible with me, and I took it in to the shop, and I told Earl what had happened, what I said to the Lord, and what he said back to me. And he says, I'm going to bring these kids out to a broader place. And I went, oh, okay, what's that? I don't know what's going on. So anyway, I brought it in and I showed it to Earl, and he looked at it and he read it. Then he stopped. Then he read it again. Then he stopped. Then he read it. He said, Charles, where did you get this? How did you find this? I said, I just opened my Bible and said, Holy Spirit, I need you. I said, Jesus, I need you. And so that Wednesday, I went to church. I mean, I had a broken heart. I was so dead.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
You take what it is and you